Oh, welcome, Juar. Off the Page Geeking, you are listening. Be warned, you must. Spoilers you will hear. The podcast you will enjoy.
In a world overrun with an infinite amount of multiverses, originating from a plethora of sources, four longtime friends band together to try to make sense of it all and present it to an audience in an easy-to-digest podcast. This is Geeking Off the Page.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Kitchen, and I'm bald because Captain Picard made it cool.
Hi, everybody. I'm Trevor Brown, and I'm not naked right now.
I'm Gavin Burbage, and I have more Optimus Primes than you do.
Hi, my name's Troy Bowman, and I have the ultimate power. There we go. All right, so we are looking at episode 3. Welcome to episode 3, everyone. We made it. Not like 3 is really that much of a hallmark right now, once we get to like maybe 10 or something like that. So we are here to talk about stuff that's gone on comic book wise in the different medias, such as television, comic books, movies, and whatever else is inspired by, like I said, the comic books that we grew up reading, collecting, or even stuff that's newer now in the comic book industry. So what we can start off with is we actually had a couple of trailers that were released this week that are very comic book centric. And anyone want to have anything particular to say about any of the ones that we have available to us? And again, I'll just go over the quick list of what we have. We have Jupiter's Legacy. We have Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings. And then we have, I forget what it is called again. Again, Trevor?
Love, Death, and Robots.
Love, Death, and Robots. Right. I'm going to write that down right now. Love, Death, and Robots. All right. So anyone have anything to say about those? Anything there? Anyone like off the top of their head want to talk about one of them? We'll just go on with the others.
Shang-Chi really makes me think of classic kung fu movies, which is definitely a good thing. Without the cheesy, puffs of powder with every impact.
Yeah, no, it definitely it definitely looks like a fully fledged kung fu movie for the modern day. It looks like everyone knows what they're doing in this particular production, and we're actually headed by a Canadian, which is kind of neat. Our main character is from, I believe, the Toronto area, if I'm not mistaken.
I know he's
Canadian. I'm not going to claim where I know where he's actually from, but fantastic. All mainly Asian cast, which is fantastic for Disney to be doing it this way, which I mean makes sense with this particular title. So it's looks really cool. And
to be honest, for me, I wanted more kung fu.
You want among?
Okay. It seemed a little too superhero, a little too Wakanda. It's sort of like it gave me Black Panther vibes, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because Black Panther was a great movie.
Right.
But I wanted to see full on Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. If you're going to lean into the kung fu genre, like go all in. I don't know. Did you guys ever see the live action Street Fighter series that was done on YouTube?
Mm-hmm. I did not. Yes, I'm aware of it, but no, I did not phenomenal. Actually watch it. Yeah.
So it was made by stunt guys. The kung fu action was phenomenal.
Really?
And for me, that captured the vibe that I would like to see in, a kung fu movie from Marvel.
Okay. Can
so
I also?
For me, I was a little underwhelmed, and also I was sad with the Mandarin. It's like I still want to see Iron Man, Tony Stark fighting him. It's like you can't bring this in now.
I feel like there's a lot more that we haven't seen. They just give us little bite-sized chunks of the martial arts that are actually going to be in there. I think they know the pressure for is on to make it like perfectly choreographed.
I hope so. I'm rooting for it. But just what I saw in the trailer, I'm like, man, I hope they deliver more than what we saw.
My biggest hope is Shang-Chi's tagline is he's the master of Kung Fu.
Yes.
So I don't want this to kind of be like Iron Fist, where this is a guy who spent all this time in a monastery learning like the ultimate martial arts, comes to the US and proceeds to get his ass kicked by every thug who comes along. This guy better be the master of Kung Fu. This guy should not get his ass handed to him by every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah, he should be able to go against Neo and John Wick and kick their asses.
Exactly. I don't want to see, like, you know, three thugs come around the corner and mug him, and he's like, oh, I don't know what happened there.
Now, is it a title, or is it actually, like, an actual person? Is it, like, Shang-Chi?
Shang-Chi, master of Kung Fu. That's all the comic books. I mean, when I collected them way back when.
Okay, so is he, like, is it, like a legacy, like his family name sort of thing? Or is it just, like, how...
No, there's an interesting history with this character, too. Do you know all the details, Trev?
Yeah, I do. So Shang-Chi, his dad is the Mandarin. Is, you know, it's his dad. It was the
big... Really?
He was trained to be his dad's bodyguard.
Oh, okay.
And what it was, you know, so he was trained by the best of the best of the best. He was, you know, given elixirs to push his body beyond what, you know, the normal limits of human, and just, you know, trained to the point of absolute perfection.
Okay.
The problem was, is that then he figured out his dad wasn't, you know, the upstanding citizen that you know, all his trainers told him he was. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I'm not going to work for this guy. This guy's a douche. I'm going to do everything I can to bring him down. And that started the fight between, you know, him and his father and his father's forces. But, you know, Shang-Chi was, you know, he was the true master of Kung Fu. And he's in the Marvel Universe, he always popped up here and he always popped up there. He had his own comic book series for a while. Yeah. To me, one of the biggest surprise introductions of him or revivals of him was after the Spider-Man, the day after the One Fine Day, where Spider-Man lost everything. You know, he lost MJ, he lost Aunt May, he lost everybody. He decided, you know, he's got to start over. He somehow, Shang-Chi becomes his mentor and basically teaches him the way of the spider, a kung fu method that works for Spider-Man with his physique, with his abilities. Shang-Chi is able to put together martial art for him that works only for him, that accelerates, you know, his fighting ability. Because, gotcha. You know, because with the tagline, master of Kung Fu, it's not that Shang-Chi mastered a style of Kung Fu. He mastered all of it. Every style. He knows it all. Which, you know, in my mind makes him basically one of the premier martial artists in the Marvel Universe.
You know, okay, cool. Okay. Yeah.
It's like, you know, taking on a mathematician with, you know, simple level problems and going, I can beat him. You're not even getting close.
Okay. So what I'm thinking is then I don't think they're going to go with that storyline, obviously, in this series, right? Because that doesn't seem to be, from what it looks like, it'll fit into
the current
MCU. I mean,
they're going to have to pull back. I mean, obviously, you can't have him in because it's a very stereotypical. Not the greatest of names, but they're probably going to have to, you know, they're going to have to introduce the fact that he can kick just about everyone's ass.
Right.
But at the same time, he doesn't want to, if that makes sense. Like, you know, it's just like saying you have a loaded gun in your hip doesn't mean you pull it out and start shooting everybody every time you can.
Right.
It's there because you need it, not because you have to use it. Same thing with him. So I'm hoping that, you know, he has this prodigious martial arts ability, so that every Tom, Dick, and Harry doesn't kick his ass. Because that was the one thing when I was watching Iron Fist on Netflix, it was just like, oh god, who's going to beat him up this episode?
Yeah, that series was painful.
Every time someone be like, hey, I'm new, Lawchman, there we go, there down he goes. And you're like, buddy, where you been training, McDonald's? Like, it just didn't make sense. I've got the Iron Fist. Yeah, but it doesn't seem to help you at all, because everyone gets their chance to kick your ass.
And that's why I think it's so important for movies like this. You have to have like people who are experts in martial arts. You have to have expert stuntmen. Ideally, you have people coming from that form of cinema. Like, you want that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Kung Fu style.
Oh, yeah.
Cinematography, if you're going to make a film like this. And for sure, Iron Fist did not.
No. Iron Fist had your MCU Netflix casting that was doing the exact same thing for all three of the other series as well.
But meanwhile, Daredevil was amazing.
Oh, so it was.
I think it was the actor, Finn Jones. Yeah. You know, he was basically learning it on the fly. And the problem was, it showed. He didn't look comfortable with what he was doing. Like, he'd been doing it for the last 20 years of his life. It looked like, hey, this is something I just picked up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, Charlie Cox's Daredevil. Like, though that hallway scene, like, that one take hallway scene, like, Charlie Cox must have, like, practiced and practiced and practiced to get those moves down right. But, like, the Iron Fist guy, just he was wooden. There was just no spark to it. There's nothing that made him feel like he was somebody you wanted to be interested in. I actually quit after, like, the first episode and a half. I just, like, this guy is boring as fuck. I'm sorry. I can't watch this anymore.
Yeah, to be honest, I think we bailed before the end of it too.
I mean, I ended up fast forwarding a lot of it because it was just like,
yeah, I
didn't
whine
about being a white rich kid anymore.
That was my big problem with it too. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll admit it was the characters around him that were interesting.
For sure.
But when your lead character is you know, boring as a brown paper bag lunch, it was just like, bring me everybody, like, push him to the side. Let me follow some of the other characters for a while because they're far more interesting.
Mind you, I did enjoy Defenders only because of that fact that the other three characters were such stronger, but he seemed to up his game for that.
They carried him in every goddamn scene. They were carrying him. It was just every scene where it was him and another character. I'm like, how are they going to carry him this time? Is it over the shoulder? Is the princess carry? Like, what are they going to do? Because it's just, yeah.
Power Man Iron Fist was one of my very first comics I bought with my own money as a little tiny kid too. So wow. It's like, you know, there's an affection for those characters.
Okay.
So to see how they butchered it so badly in that series was sad.
Okay. So enough of the
Power yes. Fist. Shang-Chi, if they can do better than that, then
I highly doubt they will. Good. There's no way they can't do better than that. That is for sure. I think we've come to that conclusion. But now when we look at the trailer, it looks like there is probably stuff that is in flashback form. Are we thinking that we're getting some, like, that sequence where the guy's fighting alongside a leaping lion and all that? I mean, we're obviously getting some sort of
training montage of some sort. Or
yeah. Okay. Okay. That's why I thought it might have been like a name that was handed down because it looked like something. Oh, way back in the past, there was this guy was the.
No, it's like in the comic book. He's trained. Pretty much just shortly after birth, like the second he can stand, they start training him.
Okay. In the comic book, his father was Dr. Fu Manchu.
He was going to take over to be his father's protector.
Yeah, I understand there, Gavin. That was a little bit of a neck collar pull there on the. Yeah, whoa, Fu Manchu. Whoa. Okay, sure. I highly doubt that's coming in. But we are looking forward to
it. Like in the trailer, Awkwafina.
Yeah.
I like the fact that she's the comedic foil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I mean, it would be honestly like anyone, suddenly you meet up with someone who has these fantastic powers and it's just you're constantly dropping your jaw and picking up off the floor and the stuff you would say, like, well, damn, you know, just
yeah.
You know, if I'm walking along and I have a friend and suddenly he picks up a truck, I'm gonna be like, oh.
Right. And also the show has Michelle Yeoh in it, so there's no doubt that we're gonna have some at the very least, her stuff is going to be fantastic to watch. Hopefully, I mean, she kicks all the ass as well. So,
yeah, there's, I mean, I read a lot of Shang-Chi when I was, you know, much younger. I mean, I've always loved martial arts. And Shang-Chi was one of my favorite series.
Okay, so what you're saying is out of all of us, you're probably going to be the one that's going to be most disappointed by this then, right?
Absolutely.
It could be me, actually.
Really?
I think on a sliding scale, me and Trevor are definitely on the more critical side.
Now, what I am hoping is I know that the villain in this is Death Dealer, or he's going to be there. He was almost like Shang-Chi's mirror opposite in terms of he was the dark side of martial arts sort of thing. I hope they treat him well. I really do, because A, it was kind of a cool caution, but B, just no remorse on that guy. I mean, he, you know, come into room, he has target A, he has to kill. He would just kill everyone in the room.
Okay. Just, Are you talking, is this the guy in the trailer that's like sitting there in like the throne room all by himself sort of thing? Is the camera pans by him sort of thing?
I don't know. I don't know who the actor they've picked for him.
Okay.
I mean, I just know that they've talked about having Death Dealer, and I appreciated the character before I learned of like, you know, Wolverine or Deadpool. Cause right. Again, it's the guy that he just, you know, he goes in to kill his target, and it's like, well, he killed everyone on the way in. And then instead of killing everyone on, you know, instead of going back the same way, cause you know, that path is clear. He takes a new path so we can just kill more people on the way out.
Gotcha.
Just to kind of like make a statement that, you know, he is the Death Dealer. It's
okay.
That's what he does.
Okay. So everyone still, I guess, kind of on the fence for this one then. Right. But still looking forward to seeing it. I mean, mm-hmm. It'll be a theatrical movie as well. So we'll probably get a lot more information before we actually get even closer to it. Cause this is a September release, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Or I can just look that up right now because I have that.
September 3rd.
Yep, there you go. September 3rd. So, yeah. So that'll be the second Marvel movie released to theaters this year. So,
send the kids back to school.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I was just doing an extra Google search here because I just want to make sure I got this story right. So, with the father being Dr. Fu Manchu, that was actually from a series of novels that Marvel got the rights to. And they published that character into the comics.
Yeah, Fu Manchu has been around as a literary character like since a long, long time. And in the Stan Lee way of borrowing, you know.
Yeah, so borrowing. Then Shang-Chi came out of that story, but then that became the main character of the series. So it's interesting that this came from a different fictional villain.
Okay, all right. Well, I guess we can move on to the next one. And I don't know how many of you guys saw this, but this is Jupiter's Legacy, which is a Netflix TV series being released the 7th of May. Because Netflix likes to drop their trailers like a week or two before the actual series comes out. I actually just finished watching it. Did anyone else happen to see it?
I didn't watch it. I did read the comic books. But through the magic of internet, I'm going to actually watch it right now.
Okay.
So you guys continue discussing.
So this is, I want to say Mark Millar, who is also the Kingsman. And what else has he done? Oh my gosh, why am I blanking on everything?
Ultimates,
thank you. That was the other one. And this is one of his first deals that he made with Netflix to bring some of his Miller universe to Netflix. And it's a series based on the comic book. Obviously, there's going to be some sort of, as far as I can see, there's only 4 episodes according to IMDb. But it might just be because they only have 4 available that they only have listed 4 episodes right now. So it's kind of hard to tell how long this is going to be.
Jupiter's going to be
8. It's going to be 8?
Yeah.
Okay. That is good. That's why I'm just talking out loud and people will correct me as I'm going along and then I can edit and make them sound like the smart ones and not me by not saying anything. So, again, I don't know much about the actual comic itself, but it, from what I've seen from the trailer, it looks really cool.
Yeah, but the one thing that's fun with Mark Millar is that he takes all these superhero tropes and is always able to update it. And like the same thing he did with the Avengers, like so much of the stuff that we saw in the Marvel movies was pulled from those Ultimates comics. Like they dialed back a little bit of the Mark Millar style. But to me, this has a lot of a vibe of like an Invincible or a Watchmen.
I thought that exact same thing as soon as I got like, in the first opening bit of it, I'm like, ooh, this is a timing thing with, I guess Amazon might've just pushed up their schedule just to get their stuff out there first sort of thing. It seems like, I mean, it's kind of cool. It's live action. The costumes look really cool. Some of the old makeup is a little iffy, but still.
That's kind of the problem with, 4K televisions and 4K recording.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to see everything. Ugh, kick ass, right? Completely forgot.
Well, I don't know much about the comic originally, but that does look pretty damn cool. as Mike mentioned, it's very Watchmen-like. I'm also kind of getting that DC Kingdom Come kind of feel.
Yes, very much.
Especially that one. Shot.
I like that idea. Yeah,
that shot where they're hovering over the table. Mm-hmm. I guess they're holograms, but I mean, it was definitely kind of like you got a Justice League feel to it, like the gods of this world kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's so much fun with all the Mark Miller stuff is you can tell he's a guy who loves comics. He knows mm-hmm. all the tropes mm-hmm. and he consistently knocks things out of the park, like one series after another, like keeps coming up with new miniseries and it's solid. Comes up with the new one, it's solid again. And it hits all sorts of different genres, and you know, so different genres might not be your thing, but the stories always seem to hold up. That's a hard thing for a writer to do.
I'm okay with it. If it's got something to grab me and pull me in, I'm all over it.
Even if
it's not your traditional genre.
But okay, now is Netflix going to do the whole entire thing that Netflix always does and dump the whole entire thing in one day?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's your standard Netflix.
Yeah. So no matter what, you can watch all 8 episodes in one day and that's it.
Yeah, it looks like the release is all on the same day.
Okay. But still, no, it looks fantastic. I mean, Netflix will throw money, as much money as it has at anything. And it shows in this trailer. How much of the trailer is actually going to be covered in the actual series is to be seen. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. And like I said, first thing, I mean, I knew it was being made because it's just the stuff that you hear. All the podcasts that I listen to or that are comic book situations or anything like that, you hear, hey, Mark Miller, the Millerverse is coming to different shows on Netflix and all that. And this is the first one. And like I said, I didn't know anything about it, but from this trailer, I'm definitely going to be, I'll sit down for the first couple of episodes for sure. All right. So, sorry?
I can't guarantee I'll binge it, but I'll try.
There's no way I have an 8-hour window to binge the show. There's no way I'm going to be able to do that.
I actually canceled my Netflix after Cobra Kai was done because there's nothing else to watch. So maybe okay. We'll have to sign back up for this one.
All right. First month will be free, right?
Yeah, binge it in one weekend. Done.
There you go. And cancel it again.
Netflix isn't a sponsor of this podcast, is it?
No one's a sponsor right now, so.
Well, that's I think that's the beautiful thing that Disney is doing with Disney Plus, because they seem to be releasing something at least once every week or two. That so there'd be times where you'd sign up for Netflix, watch all the things, and then all right, that's it, no more. Wait till next year, then when Stranger Things 12 comes out or whatever, and sign up for that month and watch all the things. You know, you could do that, but it's getting to the point now with Disney Plus is if you decide you're gonna cancel after a month, you're gonna be missing out so much.
That is true. Yeah.
It's also good that children these days get to suffer like we suffered, having to wait an entire week to watch the next episode. I think that's important for the next generation.
They must learn our pain.
I you know what? I actually prefer it to be this way. I enjoy the waiting. I enjoy that scene that the clock's about to run out and like, oh my God, they have to get to the end of this episode. I have to wait a whole entire week to find out what happens next. I enjoy that sort of thing about watching episodic television and all that.
Absolutely.
The struggle of watching a show, then racing upstairs to the kitchen to grab something and we're just all the entire time breaks? Somebody's down there going, it's on!
Yeah. Running for commercial breaks was always good.
Try to get that pee break in, damn it.
Okay, so here's one that I will admit slipped through the cracks for me, and I think I maybe watched only one or two of the shorts, but we just got dropped the trailer for the second season of Love, Death, and Robots, which also is coming to Netflix as well. And I, like I said, I've heard so much about it. I just never got around to it, but I did watch this trailer, and this trailer has sold me. I didn't realize that it was like I said, I didn't see much of the first one, but I take it you guys might be a little more interested in this than
I saw the first one. I loved it. I loved it. I just sat through multiple episodes at a time, just watching. And
I honestly tried to binge it because it was just every short as it got into the next one, I'm like, oh, I got it. And I was like, yeah, okay, kids, whatever. And then I realized, oh, okay, I can see it more episodically. But yeah, I made sure I got through all of them. And I went back and watched many of them several times over.
Yeah.
I did not watch it, but I was fascinated by it. And it's just one of those shows that slipped through the cracks for me. But I will say Robert Valley is one of my favorite animators and one of my favorite comic book creators. And he's got the shorts in there. And that style of animation is so fascinating to me.
There's a couple of people that I know that worked on some of these shorts that were just...
Oh, that's cool.
And they were like, you know, did you watch it? I was like, yeah. And so there's, I mean, season one, just basically like, you know, hook right in the mouth, just reeled me right in. I think the part that got me the most was there's such a diversity of styles and stories. There is something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So you may watch one, I don't care about that. And the next one, like, ooh, well, this does intrigue me. And the next one, you're like, oh, yes, absolutely. I ended up showing, like, you know, my daughter wanted to see some of them. So there's ones she couldn't see.
Yeah, definitely.
And the ones I did let her see, she really liked. She wanted to see more. And I had to be like, no, wait till you get a little older.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was just, I mean, some of them were just, right on the edge of your seat. There was a couple I was like, this could be made into a movie. This could be made into like full 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
And actually, fun fact, one of our animation colleagues from Sheridan College, Daryl Graham, was one of the animators on those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's cool. Nice. Yeah, so I'm just playing the season 2 trailer in the background here and all that. And yeah, the diverse styles are so fantastic. Like the realism, computer-generated to the tuning, computer-generated to what looks like almost like hand-drawn animation at points, which I'm pretty sure is also computer-generated anyways.
This is the modern version of heavy metal that doesn't suck.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the part that I like. I mean, yeah, there's some of the stories I was like, take it or leave it. But right. I think every one of the shorts, I don't remember how many were there total? 18. There was something in every short that was attention-grabbing, be it the style, the story, the twist, the message. There was always something that made it enjoyable to watch.
Right. Yeah, I will tell you that the one that I did see from season one was the time looping one, where the guy wakes up, looks at the window, sees the girl get killed, runs over to the building, and then it like
witness.
Yeah, yes, that was it. Yes,
that was one a couple of my friends worked on.
Yeah, that was the one that I saw, and I mean that sort of thing.
When I talked to them, I was like, so like, how much of that is live action? Like dude, that's all keyframe.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Because I was like, you mean like motion cap? He's like, no, keyframed. They studied.
Not even motion capture?
No motion capture. Keyframe. They studied and went back and reanimated scenes to give it that almost mocap like feel.
Yeah.
But it was all keyframe.
Wow.
Every last bit of it.
Okay, now I'm even more impressed with it. Yeah.
If I had to pick a favorite of the first season, it was probably that one where the robots are doing the human apocalypse tour.
I'll check the list. Three robots.
Yeah.
Which one is that? The one with that ends up? No, I saw another one with the cats or something like that.
That's the one.
Okay, that's the other one I saw. That was, yes. As soon as I couldn't remember if it was three robots. Right, they're exploring, right. Yes, okay.
There was a couple suits, the one with the big power suits, and they're fighting off the insect invasion. Everyone's kind of like the old-timey farmers, but they have these mechs with, you know, massive guns. The dump with the sentient garbage.
Oh, there are so many good ones in there.
The shapeshifters with the werewolves fighting the war in Iraq.
Oh, there's a werewolf one in here? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That one. Yeah, yeah.
Well, at least I still have Netflix, so I can watch them.
it was the last couple ones, actually, that really, the alternate histories, which has done a very graphic, toony, 2D style, which is about, you know, using, it very much reminded me of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the little
2D. For both animations?
It would fit into that perfectly, but a little bit more color. It was all about how, if you want, you can change history, and this will show you, you know, what the ramifications of changing history would be. And they'd start with, you know, if you want to kill Hitler. So it was like six different possible outcomes of killing Hitler before. And then the last one, The Secret War, which is, you know, the Russian army, World War II, not fighting Nazis, but fighting demons, but is gory, detailed, realistic, and just awe-inspiring.
Cool. All right. Well, you got me sold on that one. All right. So I guess that's about it that we got for new trailers and all that. Unless anyone wants to talk about F9. Huh? Anyone? Anyone? There's a comic book movie if I ever saw one.
Didn't they just start like guys boosting shit off a truck?
Dude, they take a freaking car into space in this one. And now John Cena is in it.
Oh, God. Why?
I swear.
I have to Google this. I don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes, you look for F9, Mike, and see what you come up with.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, it's being called F9. I think there's two more left of the series, I believe. But anyways.
Oh, can there be more?
Mars and race around Mars for a while? Like, what's next?
That's not a bad idea. You should pitch that, Trev. Elon Musk can help fund it, sponsor it,
I'd want to get someone who's very Stanley Kubrick-esque type director who insists on shooting on location.
Yes.
I gotta say, I will
sign up for that one.
Well, once Justin Lin directed a Star Trek movie, I just kept referring to the star in the trickiest or something like that.
That was the third one, right?
Yeah, it felt like Vin Diesel was going to bust through on a phaser-powered motorbike or something. Wait, they did.
Wait a sec. There was a motorbike in that movie, wasn't there?
There was.
Anyways. All right. So trailer's down right now. So anything else, anyone other than our topic of choice, anyone watching anything else interesting comic book-wise, read anything comic book-wise, pick up anything comic book-wise?
I finally found the collected volume of Scud, the Disposable Assassin.
Oh, cool.
Classic.
It devolves into absolute what the effery. It is a very large book.
No, that's a phone book.
I remember getting like the third trade paperback years and years back. And for the longest time, I couldn't find anything after that. And then I discovered that they had the collected volume available on Amazon about 6-7 months ago or so. So I ordered it. It was pretty inexpensive for what it was, and it had the last three comics in it. And
oh, sweet!
I mean, it is what the F through like beginning to end. And I read the last three comics, and I'm sitting there still going, what is going on here? I mean, zombie Ben Franklin with zombie dinosaurs? I mean, that I understand. But, okay, Drywall, the guy who's a pocket dimension demon? I may not be making sense, but this is basically what is going on in Scud.
Oh, yeah, you're way beyond what I used to. But, I mean, Scud was when I first came out is when I read it, but I don't think I went much further than early. But what are we talking, how many pages you got there, Gavin?
Oh no, this is it's not even numbered.
Oh, of course not. We'll start counting them now and get back to us by the end of the podcast.
All right.
One, two. Oh, we hear the rest of the anywho. No, it's you got that noise canceling thing on, Gavin. We can't hear you flipping through the pages.
Well, shit. How am I going to irritate people with nachos anymore?
Anyone else got anything? No, nothing. Nothing going once.
I'm still plowing through Doctor Who and watching The Falcon Winter Soldier, primarily for this podcast.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for that, Mike. I mean, this is basically Falcon and the Winter Soldier is the reason why we're doing this, though. I mean, technically, right?
Mike, if you feel like you're under duress, blink once. If you're not.
Don't blink at all.
That's more of a squint, Trevor.
All right, so let's talk about the old man in the room right now and talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
And the sad thing is we may have to talk about it again because I heard they're getting a movie, Captain America 4, by the same showrunner.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up, but yeah.
Bomb right at the start.
Yeah, we'll just drop that one there. So again, we can be as spoilery as we want because we have the opening PSA that mentions that we are going to spoil everything that we have seen, no matter how early it is, because hey, you've been told at the beginning, it's not our fault. But I'm telling you right now, there's going to be
it's not my fault. Spoiler. It's not my fault.
What, no hyperdrive? So what we have here is from the looks at everyone's faces, a very unfortunate, disappointing end to, okay, now I know Mike was never going to be have this sort of feeling and all that, but I guess from the three of us that we were expecting a better ending. We were expecting something more along the lines of what we had seen in the previous five episodes.
Even Trevor, were you expecting more?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was 51 minutes of steaming pile of shit.
What's the saying? A pessimist is pessimist with experience.
You broke up there, Mike. You want to do that one more time?
Yeah, try that one again.
The saying is that a pessimist is an optimist with experience.
Oh, that definitely. That's a good one. I'm glad we had you say that again because, yeah, you broke up on that last horizon. Yeah, no, it was... I don't know where to begin. Okay, it opened really cool. The fact that it had this episode had wrapped up the series with its Return of the King 4 or 5 endings sort of thing was just not like halfway through the show it wraps up. Everything is all hunky-dory and all that. We didn't have Torres come back as Falcon, which, okay, I can understand that. We found out what was in the box, which was a really good comic book accurate version of that suit.
I did like the suit.
Yeah.
I did like Falcon's new suit. I think it very accurate, but also plausibly accurate. That ends my enjoyment of the episode.
I had the same reaction for the costume. Like when Stuart Eminem for Marvel was the one who designed the costume when they did that.
It was like the comic books. Ooh, the costume's up here. And then the rest of the episode, you can't see because the camera can't look down that far, but we're talking like 60, 70 feet below me. It was just like, it was like they said to all the writers, don't worry, we got this. We got one of the writers from Scooby-Doo to wrap it up for us. And it was just like, oh God, just can we stop with the Scooby-Doo ending?
Yeah, I think you got there. It was definitely a bit of a Scooby-Doo ending.
One of my favorite moments in the show was when Sharon Carter came up with the face mask on in disguise.
Yeah.
In the middle of everybody, rips it off for no reason and just starts talking. It's like, hey guys, I'm in disguise. Like, well, no, it's me.
Yeah, I'm no longer disguised.
There wasn't a more Scooby-Doo moment than that. I don't know what is.
Yeah. Mr.
Miller. We would have got away with 2
if it weren't for you damn kids
and that dog.
What do you think about the power broker, Trevor?
Oh God, that was just a complete fucking
didn't I call that last week?
You did.
Gavin
called it. That's why I want Trevor's reaction.
Let's pull Sharon Carter from the comics where she, you know, but hell, let's ignore Sharon Carter from the comics. What we've seen of her from Winter Soldier and Civil War.
Right.
She was a very dedicated member of the U.S. government. She broke the rules. She got disavowed for handing over Falcon's suit and the shield and shit like that. So then, you know, she goes off. She decides she's going to be, you know, like high-end defense information broker. What, you know, and then at the end when they're like, oh, she's a power broker, now she can be selling state secrets and shit. It's like, you know, everything that they set up of that character in the MCU, from Winter Soldier and Civil War, they just like, fuck it. You know,
did you guys like, read the Death of Captain America comics by Brubaker?
Yes, I did. And that's why I was
so
like,
you know who killed Captain America?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, Sharon Carter shot. Captain
but America. She was under mind control and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, that's how you kind of work that into the story.
Sorry, Mike, who was it who did the mind control?
Red Skull.
Red Skull. And
what was Red Skull's name?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just, one second, it was really like, I'm the power broker. I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? It's like suddenly saying, you know, it's like having the character off the side of, ooh, I've got all the evil motivation. And like, no, the fuck you don't. It's just lazy writing. Lazy fucking writing is what it is.
It is.
Now, are we sure this is actually Sharon Carter?
She took the disguise mask off, unless she has two.
Another disguise mask underneath that.
It's exactly. Cookie Monster. Like, who knows at this point? It was just, the second the reveal, I was like, this is the laziest fucking out a writer could take.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, they introduced Val, it made sense why she would be the power broker. Because at that point, with the exception of the Flag Smashers running around, who all got wrapped up in the end by the, which was nice by Zemo's butler taking out the last one. There's only three living super soldiers with the serum active in their body. Bucky.
Yeah.
The old black guy.
Yeah.
And US Agent.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Val now has US Agent under her thumb. So she can draw blood from him as much as she wants to recreate the super soldier formula. If Sharon was the power broker, why the fuck would she then lead Zemo, Bucky, and Falcon to the guy who basically reinvented the formula? She could have just said, couldn't find him. I don't know. We don't know where it's being manufactured from. Because at this point, all of her source had just been stolen. He was the only source of this stuff. She just had to wait for him to make some more.
Oh, but she got her job back, so now she can steal other stuff. Brilliant.
But the thing is in the comics, the power broker charges $1 million for his process per ton you want to be able to lift. So if you say, I want to have, like, you know, class 20 strength, I'll be able to lift or press 20 tons over my head, you're paying $20 million. You want
to. That's like 1980s currency, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but back in, you know, when the power, so if you update it to 2020, it's probably like, you know, you got to pay 10 million for every ton you want to lift.
10 million Bitcoin.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Bitcoin. Yeah.
But the thing is it made no sense for
Sharon. What is it in Dogecoin?
I'm just saying it made no sense for them, for Sharon to lead them to her scientist.
It seemed very like tacked on ending to put that. Like you said, there was no reason for her to bring them to her dealer if she turned out to be the one that was actually behind it.
Exactly.
All.
Whereas it made more sense for Val to be the power broker because now, you know, the guy who figured it out is dead.
Mm-hmm.
But you now have a guy walking around with that serum running through his bloodstream.
Yeah.
All you need from him is blood samples and get someone else to reverse engineer it and you're back in business.
Yeah, because he basically said he only had been working on it for a couple of years, right? Before he blipped out and then, he was working on it for 8 years, blipped out, and then when he blipped back, he was put in charge of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and then
here's the cash.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's why it made sense for it to be Val.
Yes.
But to suddenly say, ooh, we're switching the cards. It's Sharon. It's like, did you guys even watch your own fucking episodes? Like, that's like saying, like, I'll tell you what, I am the world supplier of depleted uranium bullets.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you need to find the guy who's supplying the depleted uranium for the bullets. Let me take you to him so you can kill him off.
Right, right.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, I'd also like to point out that I'm pretty sure that Julie Louise Dreyfus was basically only on set for like maybe 6 hours at most, shot all of her stuff all at one time and then just left. There was no, like, it was the exact same outfit that she was wearing previously. And
yeah, it was.
And she was still one of the best parts of the episode.
She honestly was.
No, so we have that, though, the PowerPoint. Now we have good old Johnny Walker himself. I did not want to see his redemption. I did not want to see him, oh no, can I go after her or do I save the people in the truck? I wanted to see him go the fuck after her, fuck the people in the truck. I did not want to see him, I'm going to redeem myself. No, at this point, he should still be in the throes of, you guys owe me, I'm going after the people that I think have screwed me over.
Really?
So you don't think, I would see him giving the truck a kick on his way by. Like,
I agree. If he's US agent, then yeah, that should be the thing. I mean, it's great for the actor because he's going to be loved on the internet now.
Yeah, but it took US Agent in the comic books, his whole strength.
Okay, I see what you guys doing. Okay.
It took forever for him to finally reach that back to that anti-hero status, because up until that point, he was just a hated SOB.
So you're saying US, you're saying the US Agent wasn't very well liked to begin with?
No, because he turned and you had Steve Rogers as the captain, you know, and then we took his shield back and became Captain America again. And right, US Agent was like, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home bullshit. He was just not well liked because he was still acting more bloodthirsty than Punisher, if that's possible.
Okay. That's something I didn't realize. Okay. I didn't realize that's how US Agent was originally introduced. Okay.
Yeah. To have John Walker, you know, over the course of an episode and a half go from, oh no, he killed that guy. Oh, he's so bad. He's good again. Fuck off.
Yeah, like, no, I understand.
Stop
I understand.
With the lazy writing. Leave him as a villain.
What do you think, Kev?
I don't think. I'm already seeing the daggers about to be thrown here. I enjoyed it. Yeah, okay, right at the spine.
Ah. No. Okay, Gavin, I'm going
to
back you up.
That's good. We need a counterpoint. We need to
hear that. Gavin, I'm going to back you up because I really enjoyed the fact that the three of them came together to fight as a team. There was
exactly.
Whether or not it did what it did in the comic book, whether or not it was, hey, he was this guy out for revenge and then there's a switch gets, you see the switch get flipped in his head. He goes to go after Carly and then hits himself in the forehead and realizes no, I have to do the right thing, and then goes after the truck. I mean, I think that was probably the best redemption this character get. Now
I think Wyatt Russell definitely pulled off the guy you really wanted to hate. Like, he started off cocky, you could kind of see the self-doubt, but then he started getting vicious and violent, and you know, he paid the price for it. And then when he decided he was going to, he was going to make his own origami Captain America shield. I mean, it was obviously made from paper. He you could see the conflict in his head. He's sitting here, it's like, oh, I want to kick the shit out of this guy. Do I do? Fuck. And then he grabs the truck. Now, my biggest problem with this last episode, and actually the overall arcing of Captain America and the Winter Soldier, is that the Flag Smashers were just shitty bad guys. Like, Zemo should have been the guy behind everything that was going on.
And he should have kept his purple mask on.
Exactly. He should have been sort of the overarching bad guy. And maybe he gets back into power somehow or whatever. But I mean, the Flag Smashers were just like this gigantic cock tease through the entire thing.
And then just turned out to be a very lackluster group of...
There was nothing to it at the end.
It's the Rebel Alliance that actually isn't strong enough and gets wiped out by the Empire. That's basically what the Flag Smashers...
A little side point. Before John took the serum, the Flag Smashers basically... made him, he was their bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
They beat the bejesus out of him. Now he's got it in him. He's fighting, what, two or three Flag Smashers? And again, he's the bitch.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, if for a guy who's supposed to be so well-trained, you know, before it was just an issue of strength, the reason why he couldn't beat these guys. Mm-hmm. Now he's leveled the playing field and still gets his ass handed to him to the point where they're beating on him on the ground. Like,
even my sons mentioned that.
Like, come on, if this guy's, I mean, because they went out of their way to mention, so, oh, he's got all this training, and he knows all these different styles, and blah, 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 blah.
Right, he was almost Captain America without the serum.
Yeah, when you see him fighting, and before he's all juiced up, yeah, you can see the fact that their superior strength is what's making the difference in why he's not winning. But now he's as strong as they are, if not stronger, and still not winning, then you're like, all right, this guy's just, he's just a fuck-up then, because... You know, did he find the medals? Because all this training they keep talking about, you know, was it McDonald's University? Because it did not obviously follow through. You know,
my biggest problem with the episode was when the Falcon was lifting up that armored prison vehicle.
How did he do that?
It's like he does not have superheroes.
No, he does not.
You got rockets on your back and a truck coming, those arms are going off.
Well, I know that his Bucky chest arms is starting to squish.
I think exactly.
I think he got a bit more Wakandan technology in his suit than.
I mean, you can say yeah. You got like arm servos. Like,
that's a good script fix. Okay, I'll buy that. Yeah.
Well, that's the only thing that I could think of where that bit on the bridge where he's basically shielding the cop from the helicopter crashing.
That was fantastic. Yeah. The wings went around and the shield on top.
But the only thing that I could think of that how he was able to stand up to that, like with the strength, is it had to be some kind of, maybe not a vibranium suit, but there was some Wakandan technology in there to enhance his strength.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
Good script fix. I like that, Gav.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, good. But there's good just, on there's the fly. So much good. Else
in that script that just. I that episode ended and I was just like, oh, okay, Captain America and the Winter Soldier. Yay. I like the fact that now they're acknowledging it was Captain America, but other than that, I was just like, wow, that was just, you know, some of the laziest goddamn writing. It's like they were like, you know, they wrote the first five episodes, they go into write episode six, and someone says, oh, guys, this is our last day, and we have the big party at noon, so wrap it up. And they're like, oh, shit, yeah, okay, done. We're done at 11:30.
Well, we got the movie, right? Movie? Good. See you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. That's we what don't
it felt get. Like it yeah. honestly yeah. felt like it was Friday. They had a big rap party at noon. Everyone strolled in at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then they were told, oh shit, yeah, we still gotta write episode six.
Okay, could I inquire as to, was this shoot not actually delayed because of COVID? It was during production that they actually had to shut down because they then had to go back to do some, like, once they got past quarantine, all that sort of thing, I believe. So maybe there might have been some sort of problem where it's like, okay, we don't have this available to us anymore. We have to write around this loophole now that we've gotten ourselves into.
I don't know. If you look at the animation and technology, the stuff that they were pulling off was phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't think it was a case of production. I mean, I think it was just a case of episode six was just, you know, they were told to wrap it up and they did it in the laziest way possible.
Okay, so if they had, say, two more episodes. Probably
if they had two more episodes, then yeah, prove that, you know, show me that Sharon Carter was actually Val in the, you know, saying that pulls it off, it's Val going, well, that, you know, her reputation's, you know, something to that effect. The things they needed to fix were Val. I agree that yeah, US Agent at some point would have a redemption moment.
Right.
But it was too goddamn fast.
Yeah,
it
no, was, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
It just, you know, in the episode and a half earlier, he beat a man to death with his shield. Yeah. He gets stripped of his thing. You know, the identity that he worked himself up to, but, you know, the government turns around and says, nope, we're taking it from you because you're an ass. He's given a chance to do it again. Val gives him that opportunity. He makes his own shield like some, I don't know, some backyard, you know, forged some in good fire DIY. Guy, his own shield. To basically, it's almost like these people that you can strip your job and you remake your uniform with whatever you get at Home Hardware. And, you know, it's
he should have saved that moment for Captain America 4.
Yeah.
If you want a redemption arc,
he can save it for the movie. And he doesn't take it. That's where I think where it falls apart, because that's his revenge for his dead buddy.
Right.
And he doesn't take it.
Right. I would have liked to seen like flashback sequences with Isaiah Bradley. I would have loved to have seen like back him working with the super soldier. I'd love to have seen that whole entire him rescuing the 28 guys sort of thing. I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah, I would love to have seen some of that. But I've just felt that the path that Johnny Walker took, you know, his fall to redemption needed to get stretched out much further.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that fall continue as he, you know, falls back into that psychosis deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, taking lives, gets his revenge, realizes just how hollow it is. And then we find that moment that he starts to come up, but not like,
No,
I think that psychosis is in there for sure. Did you notice that bit where wherever he's conflicted, there's always that little eye twitch kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to get worse before he gets better. Like you can see that there's something in him that's, you know, that's redeemable. Like this itself doesn't quite make him, you know, all is forgiven, but I think what's going to happen is with Leviathan and all this, I think he's going to start doing like darker and darker shit. And then eventually he's going to basically go like, I can't do this anymore. And and they'll start doing the deprogramming or the hypnosis or whatever they use to get rid of the psychosis.
Yeah, see, I would have preferred to see him when he was fighting the Flag Smashers, you know, knocking one down, pulling out his pistol, double tap to the head, goes to the next one, you know, fight the guy, knocks the gun in his hand, pulls his knife, bam, right to the skull. Not that he's beating up the Flag Smashers to get to care. He's killing the Flag Smashers to get his way to her. That he hasn't crossed the line.
Yeah, I agree.
He's pissed on it, stepped over it, and the line is well behind him. That he's, you know, whereas Captain America would try to take the less of a lethal response, he's saying, fuck it, I have a gun, I have a knife, I'm going to use them. That's my target over there. Anything that's in my path is something to be killed and destroyed and moved out of the way. That's what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
That level of agreed. He's getting his revenge. He doesn't care what he has to do to get there.
That's what two things. The two things I wanted to see in this one is I wanted to see Bucky in the Captain America uniform. Again, going back to the Brubaker. So if you have the Falcon, he gives away the shield. You know, make something happen. Obviously, Captain America is not assassinated, but U.S. Agent's a good trigger. Have Bucky go get it back, become the new Captain America. It's like, hey, Sam, you dumped this off. Now I have to take it on. He can do his whole Captain America arc during the show. And then fine, have the Falcon get it at the end. That would be really cool. The second thing I wanted to see is the dance party on the boat. I wanted to see Deadpool on that boat dancing.
That would have been sweet. That would have.
I'm sure they could have got Ryan Reynolds. He would have gladly done it.
You or wouldn't at least even.
The stunt double.
Yeah, you could have like just superimposed him in there. I mean, you didn't even need an actual actor. I mean,
oh hell no! You could probably called up Ryan Reynolds and say, "We want you to dress up in the Deadpool outfit for this show. We need you dancing on the boat." He'd be like, "I'll be on the next flight."
Do you want my personal costume, or you guys got a costume for me?
He's got three costumes. He's kept them from every movie.
Not surprised. I'm not surprised in the slightest.
Well, he travels. He travels with them too, because usually when he's in a new city, he visits like a local like children's hospital dressed up as Deadpool.
For all the children that watch Deadpool?
Yeah.
the family safe version.
Are you telling me your little kids have not seen Deadpool?
Not the movies, no. They have not seen the movies.
Well, they know of Deadpool, but they know of Deadpool.
They have the comic books, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yes. Remember when I made John a Deadpool costume? Yes, I remember when you made John Callum a Kidpool costume. Yes, that was really cool. All right, so I think that wraps up Falcon of the Winter Soldier, I guess.
It was a decent rant.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, look, all in all, I really enjoyed the series. I'm thinking I probably would have liked it a little more if it had aired originally and then we were watching WandaVision, because that's how it was originally supposed to go. It was supposed to be WandaVision second.
And be lower standards.
Well, I think with WandaVision second, then rolling into to Loki, it would have flowed together better.
Yeah. Yeah, because you, well, I guess doing it this way, you get a break from the crazy magical thing. You go into a real world thing, and now you go into a pretty much slapstick adventure.
It's Quantum Loki.
It's what?
Quantum Loki.
Yes, yes. I was going to say, I don't know what it's going to say, but it was going to, it looks like it's going to be, I'm hoping that it's going to be like a Time Bandits sort of thing. Like he travels down through the different time holes with this giant map that he has to go. I have to go here and I have to change this, or I'm running away from them and I want to do this.
And for Quantum Leap, he's setting the wrongs in the very
He's an evil leaper in the quantum universe.
Well, no, they're sending him to go fix the damages.
Oh, they're making him fix the damage. Okay, yeah. Right. Yes.
But I guess that's Loki. True, yes.
But it's Loki. Yeah. You know he's going to fuck it up.
Oh, no.
Or put his own spin on it.
Oh, he's definitely
going to.
He's
not. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. He can't not.
He can't.
No.
This is definitely going to be a chance for Tom Hiddleston to really shine. Because, I mean, every moment he's Loki on screen has pretty much stolen the show.
Like, oh, for sure.
And every single movie he's been in.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the other thing, too. Loki really doesn't have that much in comparison to the other characters. As the secondary character in the main Thor movies, he doesn't really have that much screen time, but the time that he does have on screen, he steals it every single time. And now we have, I take it we're going to have another 6 episodes, maybe? Oh, it depends on what it is. If they're going to be half hour episodes, we might have a little more, but anyways,
Tom Hiddleston.
Yes.
Don't you guys think he would make an excellent James Bond?
Oh, I do. I wholeheartedly agree with that statement, Michael.
Have you seen the original character sketches of what the character should look like? It is him to a T. He's got the evil smirk. He's got the cockiness. Whenever he's on screen, he just steals the show. Mm-hmm. If he was James Bond, that series would be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
He was originally supposed to be Thor.
Yeah.
He did the screen test for Thor.
Yep.
And then they brought in Hemsworth. And they were like, well, we're going to let Hemsworth be Thor, but would you be Loki?
That is definitely the juicier of the two roles. Especially in that first movie, too. Because, like, Thor was not a very well-developed character at all in that first movie.
Yeah.
Hell, even the second movie. It you know what? It took until friggin' Ragnarok.
The second movie?
What? The second Thor second movie.
I thought it was Thor and then Thor Ragnarok.
And then right into Ragnarok. Right, yeah. Okay, so Thor and Loki were much better characters in the first Avengers movie, right? And then as we went on, but yeah, no, Loki from the get-go has been a much more solid character than, plus it allows him to play the comedic role from the get-go practically, but also be an evil character as well.
And they did a great job of constantly switching between good and bad.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do that normally with a character and have it believable.
Yeah.
But somehow, you know, the big villain of the Avengers movie, and next thing you know, he's running around being partners with Thor again.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, the fact that they can do that, pull that off, and make it all believable is phenomenal.
Oh, and his emotional range, too, especially when, like, in the, the second Thor movie.
Which one was that, Trevor?
Ragnarok?
Where, what's their mother's name? Well, where she ends up dying. His emotional breakdown is so...
Rene Russo?
Yeah, Rene Russo's Queen...
Freya.
Thank you.
You can fix that in editing. You want to say that again so it sounds like you knew it?
Queen Brea, right?
Freya.
That's what I said. I'll just edit that
pretty
in.
Sure
I'll do
there's a little bit of... in there.
No, I'm gonna leave that in. That's worth it. Anyways, so yes, so we're looking forward to Loki, which we have until what is that? We have June, because Disney is now taking a break from the Marvel Universe and giving us a Star Wars series, which I myself am looking forward to. So, hey, but
is that the Bad Batch?
That is the Bad Batch. Yes.
When does that air?
It starts May the 4th. You knew that was happening. You knew that had to happen. And
gosh, if only there was some way to have predicted that.
Yeah, exactly. It's also like the others, it's being released on a weekly basis. I think they're dropping a couple of episodes at the beginning, like they've done everything else and going on from there. So, yeah. So, again, another weekly basis. Fun time with Disney Plus. So, because we all love Disney Plus. All hail the mighty Mickey, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I guess that actually covers both all the Marvel stuff that's out there right now. Okay. So,
hang on. I'm going to strap myself in.
All right. So, this week's version of Turning Back the Pages, we have Mr. Michael Kitchen doing his little report for us. And, Michael, why don't you just take it away from here?
All right. So the thing I've been completely hyped with over the last half year is Naruto.
Okay, so sorry. I'm sorry. I hate to stop you this at the very beginning. You've only for the past half year gotten into this?
Yes.
Holy cows. Okay. No, please go right ahead. This is amazing. I like this. This is fantastic.
All right. So this is something my son Erickson had been watching for years. And it's the kind of thing where we'd be walking around the neighborhood. He's flashing jutsu signs with his hands. And he's saying all these things like, the world shall know pain. Like, what the hell is going on? Right? So finally, he goes, hey, Dad, do you want to see this really cool fight scene? And so he shows me episode 133 of Naruto Shippuden. It's called The Tale of the Gallant Jiraiya. And this is like, if somebody says, hey, do you want to see an episode of Star Wars? It's like, sure. You flash to the Death Star. It's Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader. Obi-Wan gets cut down. And then your son who's showing it to you says, oh, by the way, Obi-Wan taught him. Oh, and he also taught his son. Oh, yeah, by the way, that's his father. It's like, what the hell is going on? Right? So it's this incredible fight scene. And from there, he goes on, skips a few episodes, and he continues with the Pain Invasion arc, which is like rated the best episodes of the entire series, where the student of Jiraiya comes back and just devastates the entire Leaf Village, just massacre all around. And the character Jiraiya ended up becoming my personal hero of the Naruto series. So picture Obi-Wan Kenobi, but he's an absolute perv. So he...
That's not that far-fetched, actually. I mean, they did that in Family Guy.
Yeah, so he's like taking Naruto out to do his training. He has to work on his Rasengan. It's like, by the way, I got to go back into town to do my research, because he's going and writing these like romance novels on the side between training shinobis and hunting down the evil. So anyways, that was my introduction to the series. Got complete with the characters. And actually an interesting thing with the Jiraiya character, and I learned this week from a YouTube channel called Anim Balls Deep. So Jiraiya, way back in the day, he was part of the legendary three Sannin, right? So it was three legendary ninjas. And they basically trained up as little children, grew up, and like in their greatest moments, they had something called the three-way deadlock. And the history on that is, it's actually based on something that goes way, way back farther, like the paper, scissors, rock game that we play.
Right.
In Japanese culture, they have something. It's called slug, snake, frog. And each of the characters are able to summon these frogs in the Naruto show, or these characters are able to summon these creatures in Naruto. So Jiraiya is able to summon the toad. His partner at the time, and then Pu becomes a villain, Orochimaru summons the snake, and Tsunade is able to summon the slug.
Okay.
And the character Jiraiya is actually based on ancient cultural stories from Japan. So the original story, it's kind of like when Pei Min shows up in Kill Bill. And that was...
Yes.
You know, so that's like a character that's based on all this ancient stories and film. And he just shows up as the instructor and mentor of the bride. So Jiraiya showing up in Naruto is almost the same kind of effect. It's based on these old stories and old kabuki. And then his partners in the old ancient stories are actually Orochimaru and Tsunade. So all that stuff is pulled from ancient Japanese culture, which is really fun. So anyways, so after watching this whole series, got completely hooked on it. And my son says, oh, by the way, there's this other series. It's the Next Generation. So Naruto has a kid. All the other characters grow up. They've already saved the world. And it's continuing the story. And the son's name is Boruto. So that's the name of the next series.
Naruto Boruto. The son of Naruto is Boruto.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is where the conversation really kind of gets interesting, because after watching the latest Star Wars trilogy and how they butchered the entire Star Wars universe, to watch a story where they're able to do it correctly, my brain completely exploded after that. So Naruto, the character, has always been trying to be the next Hokage, which is the leader of the Hidden Leaf.
Yeah, it's the top guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so he actually accomplishes his goal. They defeated the evil alien space god clan, brought peace between all the nations.
Right.
And there's this massive period of peace. And he's actually a good Hokage. His nemesis, who he fights at the end, and they blow each other's arms off. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
So he becomes like the Shadow Hokage. So throughout the entire series, they're rivals, constantly fighting. They team up. They go against each other again. It's sort of like a Thor and Loki type situation. But after he gets his arm blown off, he realizes like, yeah, you actually beat me. So you're the Hokage, but I'll do whatever you need to do. So he's the Shadow Hokage who's going around to the neighboring villages and making sure everything's good. The evil alien space clan isn't invading. So he's constantly on this mission, like Punisher style, to make sure that he's taking out any bad guys that are still out there.
Okay.
So that's fun. But they did something that, like, J.J. Abrams, or as the other podcaster, Jar Jar Abrams, like... It's being called. They were able to create a new series with new characters while keeping the old characters in the story and continuing that. So you're seeing all your old favorites come together. Every time they're on screen, they're way overpowered and they're doing all this cool stuff. Sort of like when Luke Skywalker shows up in The Mandalorian. Like, you get those moments where it's like, oh, this is the Luke Skywalker I want to see. Like, I don't want to see Luke Skywalker milking a walrus and pouting. I want to see him showing up in an X-Wing and just ravaging these Iron Man stormtroopers. So this series is able to do that. Because that's one thing with J.J. Abrams had said when he was writing the script, is that you cannot write a Star Wars story with new characters and have Luke Skywalker in it. Because at that point, Luke Skywalker becomes the attention. Nobody wants to see the new characters.
Right. Okay.
Oh, and this Boruto's story, apparently he was, like my son had told me, he was one of the most hated anime characters of all time, because he's the son of Naruto. He's a spoiled brat. He says, it's like, ah, oh, my stupid old man, I'm going to show you. I'm going to beat you. I'm way better than you ever were. So all the fans of the anime were like, you bastard. Don't talk to Naruto like that. But that creates an element for a character arc. So the character starts off a complete spoiled brat causing trouble and eventually grows into someone who can fill his father's footsteps. And if J.J. Abrams was able to do that with Star Wars, we would have had an amazing trilogy.
Hmm. So I'm just checking out IMDb. I mentioned earlier that my experience with Naruto was basically about three episodes right at the very beginning. And I honestly didn't know what I would have been sort of getting myself into, because according to this, there's 217 episodes. 217.
Now the fun fact about that is there's only certain ones that are canon episodes. So there are lists where if you want to watch the episodes that are based purely on the manga or manga, as the kids like to say, you can watch the episodes that are based on the original source material and skip all the filler episodes.
Oh, okay. That might shave off what, 5 episodes?
A lot.
Oh, okay.
No, it is. Mike is correct. There is a lot of stuff. I haven't gotten into it as deeply as Michael has through a youngling that has shown him the way, but Adrian's youngest boy, John Callum, is a huge Naruto fan. And from years of him and his brother, they have the manga as well. They watch the anime. Even Adrian has watched the anime. And my daughter has also, while she, I'm not 100% sure if she knows what is actually going on, but she does recognize the characters. She recognizes the names. She will occasionally start doing the Naruto run outside. If you don't know what that is, you can look it up to see what it is. People do it all the time as a meme. Or just
do it at Area 51.
Exactly, exactly. So my daughter has knows of Naruto and Boruto.
Yeah,
and all
I've
that.
Seen it. Oh.
But what Michael had also said about Boruto being this initially hated by the fandom character, and I've heard that as well. I've heard the exact same thing. Like going into this, people did not think, why is he disrespecting Naruto? Naruto is this amazing character. Why is
exactly
this,
it would be like in Star Wars, which they should have had, is if Rey was going, Luke Skywalker, that stupid old man. It's like, no, he's the franchise.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Exactly like you said, if you can't make a Star Wars with new characters and have Luke Skywalker come in there as a bit player, because he's not going to be considered a bit player because he's Luke Skywalker. But anyways, yes, so I take it, Mike, you didn't like the recent trilogy of Star Wars movies very much.
Oh, the first one I thought, which was that Force Awakens,
yep.
I thought, oh, maybe we got something here. But then it was the Mary Sue Jedi situation. It's like, no, you can't be just doing mind tricks out of nowhere and doing stuff without training and fixing the Millennium Falcon. Have you seen the meme of her fixing the Millennium Falcon where she pulls that piece out? It's like, oh, I just removed the converter. And then immediately after the Millennium Falcon blows up, it's classic. If you haven't seen that, you have to search for that.
I will definitely do that.
I'm going to have to say I despised the last three Star Wars movies. I came out of The Force Awakens like, why did I just watch A New Hope with characters split into two characters? And I was just like, it was like a checklist of everything that you saw in A New Hope. They just like did the same checklist, but split some of the boxes into two boxes.
Yeah, second movie, I wasn't sure. So I went to see it by myself. Without the family, so they only got $9. And I was tempted to walk out of that theater, and I should have. I don't know why I didn't, but I stuck around, and I was so sad for it. And I haven't seen the last one. I have not seen The Rise of Skywalker.
They didn't get my money because I asked for my money back. And the manager did it. He refunded me my ticket. I hated The Last Jedi so much. It was just like, wow. Did you even bother to watch any of the previous movies, or they didn't even send you a story of what they wanted to do with this stuff? Or and it was just like, he was like, no, tell you what, here's a big trash can with all the stuff you sent me. I'm gonna take big old dump in it.
And that's why I'm so glad that the Mandalorian happened, just to have that Luke Skywalker redemption.
Yeah, okay, I will give you that. And
to me, the third movie was just Abrams putting out fires. He spent more time putting out fires than he could telling a story.
Yeah. So you watched that one too, Trev?
What, the 7, 8, 9? I it took me a struggle to get through 9. It really did. I just the whole time I was like, oh.
Even though I didn't see it, I know that it ends with like Rey going, I identify as a Skywalker. And that just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, that's just that sort of moment.
Yep.
So okay. I know this.
Go, totally, Troy.
I know this is totally getting off, you know, the Naruto Boruto topic.
But it ties together about. Because, like, part of the reason I was so obsessed with the, like, the Boruto storyline.
Because you're talking classic stuff.
How well they were able to do a next generation story.
Gotcha.
Keep all the characters intact. Make what the previous story did, which is like in Naruto, it's like they stopped all the warring evil alien clan from destroying the world, and all the clans came together, all the villages came together as right. one. In Star Wars, it's like they get rid of the Galactic Empire, they create the New Republic, and it should be peace in the galaxy. But instead, you have Princess Leia as a general. Why? She should be like queen. She should be like Queen Elizabeth of the, you know, Galactic Republic.
Alderaan 2.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you should have that. You should have Luke Skywalker as like the traveling shinobi, which is like the Sasuke and the Boruto. Luke Skywalker is going around like he did in The Mandalorian, like putting out fires, raising new Jedis. You know, he's like the secret weapon of the New Republic, right? The last Jedi. But he's raising new ones, which would be cool. And Han Solo should be just an absolute badass. Like, he should be commanding Star Destroyers and, you know, just taking care of everything. He would be like the greatest war general of all time. But instead, Han Solo's a deadbeat dad. Leia's just a general who's mucking around with some new little rebellion. And Luke Skywalker's milking a walrus. Like, that's not what I want to see.
Exactly. That I think that was a part that rankled me the most is there. We were just supposed to instantly accept that the First Order had basically gained that much power, and there was no explanation of
right.
You know, it's did no one put up a fight?
Like the fucking planet. Yeah, that could shoot giant like star destroying lasers.
It's not like they bought it on Amazon and it showed up with next day delivery.
Actually, maybe they did.
But it was just the. You know, suddenly a First Order shows up and they've taken the remnants of the Empire, which at this point should have been beaten into nothingness, but took the remnants and now they took over from the Republic. And you're like, but what was the Republic doing? Was it like a giant circle jerk that they just were so disinterested in what the First Order was doing until they took over? Like, there was no explanation for that. Just like, we just have to accept that the First Order is as powerful, if not more powerful, than the Empire ever was. Yeah, that Leia just is now demoted herself to just a general, you know, she's a general. Yeah. Han Solo's racing around the universe. Cake. You know, just looking for his ship. That's all he's doing. It's like, oh, I'll be there in a minute. I just got, I think I parked it at Walmart. I just got to check all the Walmarts. And that's why the Force Awakens was just like, oh, and then again, milking a walrus.
So the interesting thing with the Boruto series now is because I've already gone past all the dub series. Now I'm starting to watch all the subtitles and it's coming out weekly at this point, and I cannot wait for a new episode. I keep thinking, what if these writers are the guys who did Star Wars? Like, we would have an incredible trilogy if these guys were able to write the script.
Well, I might have to give Naradu a second chance here. Go by the canon episode list.
Yeah, you can't not like Jiraiya.
I'll just have to add it to my list of things to watch. I've got Netflix, HBO, Amazon, and then other. I just recently added, so I added Jupiter's Legacy, I added Army of the Dead, and Love, Death, and Robots. Shadow and Bone just dropped all the episodes. So I still got to get to that. So I'm going to have to add Naruto on there.
Is this the Captain America list of all the things that he's supposed to enjoy?
Well, the thing is, what I do is I look up, you know, what's coming to Netflix in this month and that month, and I'll update the list as things. And if I get time, I'll basically scratch it off the list. But, you know, with four kids, it's sometimes there's a month goes by and nothing moves off that list. Nothing. Not a damn thing.
Fun thing with the Boruto series is because my son was showing me all the hardcore battle sequences first, my daughter Reyna would see, you know, all these episodes of the Great Ninja War where it's just absolute mayhem and people getting massacred. It's like, oh no, I can't watch this. I can't go to bed like this. So she was completely terrified of any time Naruto was on.
Really?
Because I started watching the Boruto series on my own, this is like the more happy times. The kids are in high school and learning to be shinobi. Like, Reina, you have to watch this one. Like, this is right in your wheelhouse. And now she's completely obsessed. She's on a, like a rampage, watched some like 52 episodes already. And we're starting to get to the big moment, which is based on the Boruto movie. And that's around episode 64, I think, if I remember correctly. And that's when things get completely nuts. So that's one of our evening watching things that we're doing now. It's on a family playlist.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. What are you watching it on? Have you got Crunchyroll or?
No, it's a some website. So they stream these things. Okay. So like people, you know, I tried.
It's just an online Facebook thing.
But it, yeah.
Gotcha.
So okay. Yeah, those are posted weekly. So I guess it's like fans just put them up there.
Coolness. All right. Well, it's definitely, yeah, and it's been around for like pretty much forever, I think, hasn't it? It's been,
yeah, it's was originally put in Shonen Jump as the comic, like the manga, right, back in 1999.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And I actually remember when it came out because I was working in Hawaii at the time and there's a massive Japanese influence there. So they would get all the Japanese comics. I remember flipping through this one with this little kid ninja who does the sexy jutsu. And I thought it was just like a copy of Ranma 1/2. It's like, what is this? It's like, I don't need to read this comic. It's like, I could have been there from the beginning.
There you go.
But
and then you would have shown your son.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. That was pretty good, Michael. Thank you. That was great. Definitely something that'll, I mean, no, I personally, again, like you have probably, probably not as much as you have, but I've absorbed my knowledge of Naruto through osmosis of just living in this environment and all that. And again, I've read a couple of the mangas as well and all that. Of course, you've got to read them the backwards because they don't make sense reading them the other way. It's a very the animation is actually really well done for what it is. The fan sub is the better one to go with, if I remember correctly. But if you can't, stick to one. Don't try and jump back and forth between the two because the voices will throw you. That is for sure. But it's nice that they have the same voice actors doing the translations and all that throughout the whole entire thing. But again, it's a very entertaining. It's a very, very entertaining series and all that. And I also highly recommend that you should check it out. So. There you go.
That's actually one thing that was really fun with it too, is because, you know, again, with us growing up with comics and animation and Star Wars, all this kind of thing, you know, you're always trying to introduce your kids to the things that you loved as a child. But it's kind of fun when your kids show you something that gets you just as hyped as they are while they're in that moment.
My 3-year-old got me watching Wally Kazam.
What was that?
My 3-year-old got me watching Wally Kazam.
What is Wally Kazam? Do I really want to ask what you Wally Kazam is? You need
to look it up. The songs are amazing.
Wally Kazam, huh?
Wally Kazam.
Okay. I'm going to take this offline. I can see on Mike's screen. He's looking off to the side to see what this is. All right, fine. You know what? We're all going to take a little bit of a pause here and find out what Wally Kazam is. Wally Kazam?
K-A-Z-A-M.
Oh, there it is, all one word. Wally Kazam. Wally Kazam. Nick Jr. Okay.
Doesn't look like much, but when you hear some of the songs, they stick in your head like glue and you go down that rabbit hole and never return.
So you're saying it's better than the latest Star Wars trilogy?
Oh, hands down, easily. It has characters that you love, characters that you grudgingly love because you want to hate them more.
Are they like trolls or something like that? Well, or what are they?
Wally's a troll.
Okay.
His best friend is an ogre Doug, and you got Bob Goblin, who's a goblin. You got Gina Giant, who's a giant. Libby Light Sprite, who's the light sprite. And Norval the dragon.
Stop. You're getting a little confusing here.
wait. The dragon is a dragon?
He's a dragon. He's his pet, and he also rides them when they fly around.
Okay.
It's like riding the family dog who can fly.
It looks cute.
And the fact that Wally's dad is voiced by Jim Gaffigan. So you can't go wrong.
Okay. All right. It looks, yeah. Well,
It's cute, but honestly, what makes it really good are the songs. Like, they'll every episode they'll break into at least one or two different songs, and
really?
they stick in your head. They don't go away. That and Bob Goblin, every time he shows up, he refers to himself in third person. And every time he leaves the scene, he then has to pop his head back in and say Bob Goblin and then leave again.
Okay, so this isn't like a full animation thing. This is like...
Oh, it's absolutely fully animated. There's one thing no one has mentioned.
What's that? MK. Gavin's big pussy?
No. MK dropped on Friday. Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yes, MK. Like, no. MK. Has anyone watched it yet?
I have not. Trying to decide if it's worth renting at the movie price.
I will say that I've seen half of it. No, I'm not quite an hour into a just under 2 hour movie. Yeah, I think I'm at like maybe at the 45, 50 minute mark and all that. They really do enjoy name-checking all the characters as they come up on screen. Hey, you're going to go see Sonya Blade. I'm like, okay. And I'm Liu Kang. I'm like, all right. Who was that? That was Raiden.
It's a lot of, hey, let's say their names. Also, they like to fight in the dark.
Okay.
That's one thing I saw in the reviews is that they don't let the cameras look at the fighting. And if you're going to do a show called Mortal Kombat, it's like, let's actually see some fighting.
Well, the thing is it's rated R. So you can show the blood, you can show the guts, but they do the shaky cam and they do a lot of quick cutting. So you're seeing like, ooh, a leg's coming in and cut to, and now it's an arm coming in and now cut to this and a cut to that. And you're like, but the cuts are like 3/10 of a second. So you can't even visually process. All you see is motion from one side of the screen to the other, and then you see a body suddenly fall to the ground, and you're like, "Huh?" That's if they're not fighting in the dark. Like someone's like, "We're gonna do this fantastic fight, but the first thing we need to do is hit the light switch and take all the light bulbs out, and we're gonna tape over the windows."
And
so
they
you just hear a lot of sound.
Yeah, and they do the other trope of having the opening fight sequence be fantastic. It's in broad daylight. You see everything. That opening sequence is
the opening sequence to the opening title card.
Yep. Yep.
That should be the movie. Because if it was, everyone would be watching it and talking about Oscar buzz and everything.
Well, I highly doubt. Said,
no, we gotta keep going.
I highly doubt a Mortal Kombat will be in the same speech as Oscar nominated.
If
unless
it was
one of the
that,
actors
that,
was
that
Oscar
opening
nominated.
Bit, it would surprise us all, and it would be. But it was just.
Yes.
I was watching it and I'm like, do I have to turn the brightness up on my TV? Like,
oh, yeah, it gets that bad, huh? I mean, the sequence I'm in right now, it's nighttime anyway, so you're not going to be in.
The problem I had, the biggest problem is, again, they're fighting in the dark and they're like, who needs extra lights in this scene? No, it's fine. We'll just hide it in the dark.
Okay.
And yeah, it was just like some really good Foley artists. Like, I mean, that the sound effects they use, really, really good. Because I couldn't see shit, so I was just listening to it.
But also, the actors seem to be a lot more fluid in their motion. Well, they actually know...
Most of the actors are stuntmen.
To begin with, yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, so, I will say, they fixed Goro from the original Mortal Kombat movie. It doesn't look like a guy with another set of shoulders and a head stacked on top.
I saw that statue in the background in that one shot, and... It's like, okay, we're going to have Goro. All right. Let's see what this looks like. But like I said,
Goro, they fixed his proportions, but again, fighting in the dark.
Yeah. But dude, for the time, that Goro was fantastic. I mean, that was
in the 95 Mortal Kombat. You saw Goro, you saw the fight. It was lit. So you got to see everything. This fight, and shut the lights off, hear a bunch of sounds, turn the lights on. Oh, look, they shut the lights off. And turn him out. And then you got a guy who's just flickering in the light because he's like, let's do some seizures with the shaky cam.
Is that like the Doctor Who weeping angels? It's like
better than that.
No, they're here. No, they're
up. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like done.
But that was a cool sequence though. Those weeping angels moving up with the flashes as the lights. That was fantastic. That was really good.
So yeah, there's I mean, now the cool thing is the my instructor in Taekwondo. has met a couple of the actors who are in this movie, so it's a pretty good, but he also met the guy who was the original Scorpion back in the video game days. He said, yeah, that guy could move. So like a lot of people in the Taekwondo industry are, you know, buzzed about this film because it's a lot of actual martial artists attempting acting, but doing really, you know, looking nice when they fight.
Exactly.
Thank you. But yeah, it's, I had a lot more, I not high hopes for the movie because it's much more of a comedy. Has there ever been a really good movie adaptation of a video game?
Well, remember
Street Fighter on YouTube.
Remember our first experience with that was, movies we wanted to see was Street Fighter with Van Damme.
Yeah. So again, there's not really been a good.
That was a very low bar.
It's been consistently a low bar. Like, it'd be much easier just to step over it, but they managed to come under it every time. So, yeah. I mean, it's not, I had high hopes for this film, but I had hopes. Especially after seeing all the stuff that they've done in Mortal Kombat 10 and 11. I mean, the fatalities, or some of those are just insanely brutal. But, you know, besides the cast, they just keep adding more and more people in. But they're trying to inject some story. And I thought, well, maybe they can make some of this and throw that onto the big screen. Instead, they're like, we're going to take that story and right into the garbage can.
This is also theatrical.
Throw that on the screen.
Well, remember that the original Mortal Kombat, the 1995 one, was the first freaking video game movie that actually followed the damn script of the damn video game.
Yeah, well,
it was a tournament. It was combat. They were fighting. They were working their way up to Shang Li, or what's his name? The Shape Changer.
Yeah.
But the Street Fighter was like
Shang Lao,
Shang Lao, Kung Lao,
Shang Lao,
Lao Lao. I don't know.
But like anyway. Street Fighter, it was like, well, let's put this
Shang Sun.
Yeah, let's throw all the Street Fighter characters. They all have weird jobs. Oh, this is E Honda. He's my cameraman. Oh, this is T Hawk. He's a weather reporter. Who are these people and why are they world-class fighters all dropping in on Jean-Claude Van Damme's special forces team?
Look, just because you got a black belt doesn't mean that that's your whole job. Sometimes you got to make money somewhere else. Like, maybe you have to be a camera operator.
And like you said with Mortal Kombat, it was all about introducing himself. Who are you? I'm E Honda. Yeah? Yes, well, I'm Blanca.
Congratulations.
Where's Pucci?
Yeah, so this movie came out on Friday and it's 110 minutes.
It was theatrically released, right?
Both theatrically and on HBO.
Oh, right. It was an HBO like Max.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's how I was able to see it.
Gotcha.
It's 110 minutes long, and you could honestly skip a good 95 of them.
Wait, 110? Oh, I thought it was almost 150, an hour and 50 minutes.
No, it's 110 minutes. It's not even 2 hours. But honestly, that first sequence, that's about, I think, about 11 minutes, and then you can just stop and you'll be happy. You know, it'll come Mortal Kombat, and you just stop. And you're like, that was a good movie. I feel satisfied. Stop there. It's like watching Lord of the Rings, final movie. After the first ending, stop the movie and you're good. You don't need to see the other 14. You're good. The movie ended. It's done. You don't have to like sit through another 14 endings. You're like, oh god.
What about 12th ending?
Yeah, so that's my review for Mortal Kombat, the newest one. Watch from the start, that whole opening sequence, the second Mortal Kombat appears up on the screen, that's when you hit stop and you're good. Movie's done. Okay,
so wait until it hits HBO.
Yeah, if you get it, if you can watch it without having, if you've already paid for it, like if it's on a service that you've already paid for it, you might as well watch it, right? It's worth just, not even the time.
No, as I said, spend that other 95 minutes like checking your belly button for lint, cleaning earwax out of your ears, changing the oil in your car. Like, find something else to do that you're going to find more worthwhile. Use your time wisely. So yeah, that's the best I can say for that one. They say it's 110 minutes, but you only need the first 15. You'll pay for the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
You only need the edge. That's it. We'll sell you a whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Yeah, you'll laugh until you stop.
Sunday.
So yeah, that's
all right.
That was the other thing. It was rolling around in the back of my mind what had just come out, and that was
gotcha. One. All right. So so I guess we're gonna say our collective goodbyes or individual goodbyes.
Collective goodbye.
Collective goodbye.
Individual goodbye.
Laters.
You have been listening to a Planet Geek production of Geeking Off the Page with your hosts, Michael Kitchen, Trevor Brown, Gavin Burbage, and me, Troy Bowman. If you would like to reach out to us on the social medias, we can be found on both Instagram and Twitter at Planet Geek Pod, all one word, or send us an email at planetgeekpod@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, and rate this podcast. A 5-star review would really help our podcast get recognized and allow others the opportunity to find us easier. To help us out even further, please visit ko-fi.com/planetgeek. That's ko-fi.com, where any and all donations will be going back into improvement of all Planet Geek productions. Thank you for listening.
That'll be close enough. All right, I just got to get my notebook, which I just realized I didn't have. I'll be right back.
Alrighty.
You sit there and enjoy the silence there, Mike. All right, Mike, what are you wearing? What's your shirt?
Under Armour.
Oh, Under Armour. Oh, well. What do you got on there, Gavin? Is that
Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty. All right. We got a Star Wars one on Mr. Brown, and I got my Ghostbusters on. So yet again, Mike lets us down.
See, the problem is I need to have moisture wicking outfits. So if they start making it, and that, in fact, they did do some Under Armour, like Punisher and that, and I look into getting those.
Okay. No, but, no. Makes sense.
So yeah. What Mike is saying is that he's too moist for modern, that only modern technology can
help
him.
Too moist for modern entertainment, yes.
All right. Talk about what everyone saw, and then I guess go into Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Don't anyone give their opinions yet, because I think everyone has the exact same opinion about that.
Trevor's eyes say it all.
Yeah, definitely.
Are we recording this video?
Oh, this is
good. We at least get an animated GIF of Trevor's eyes.
That'd be great. I think we could do that. I think, yeah.
Might be possible. You get like all 3 pixels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shuzzbutt. Oh, I forgot to come up with something.
No.
Oh, no. You got to do it live.
Fuck it. We're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
All right. Well, at least I'm last, so.
No pressure.
Come on, Troy.
My name's Troy, and I don't know what's going on here. Where am I?
Business as usual.
Yeah, this is your podcast, Troy. Come on.
It was my idea, but technically, it's
so we have shared responsibility for this. Is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Saying?
Exactly. Okay. You know what?
It's a shared foobar.
You know what? I can totally go in and record something later because I have that power. So blah on you guys. Wait.